time to free the captive soul. This is the time to open blind eyes. This is the time to make broken people whole. For I know this is the hour of His favor and His power. And His Spirit is upon me now. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Please take your seat. My name is Reverend Gideon Nash, or Pastor Gideon Nash. If you can call me Pastor, Professor, Doctor, whatever Nash. I thank God for Jesus, and I thank you for being here. These words of the song that we sang was not plucked from the air. Actually came from the Bible. And today I'm going to talk about a topic, healing the brokenhearted. Healing the brokenhearted. And I'd like us to take a reading from Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 21. Luke 4, verse 16 to 21. That is Jesus speaking here. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him. And Jesus began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. "The scripture that the Spirit of the living God is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So today is the year of the Lord's favor in your life, if you will open your heart for that. I will say that Jesus Christ heals the broken hearts. Jesus makes broken people whole. So Graham Kendrick, the songwriter and musician, summed this up with reference to Isaiah chapter 61. Will you believe that in 2001, this song was actually recorded right here in this building? Ironic, isn't it? Right here. "The Spirit of the living God is upon me, because the Lord has called me and anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to bind the broken hearts, to free the captive soul, open blind eyes, make broken people whole. And I know this is the hour of his favor and of his power." Today we are expecting this scripture to be fulfilled right here, because God wants every captive soul to experience the Lord's favor. That means God wants every captive soul to experience the goodness of God. That God actually exists. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says that anyone who wants to know God should believe that he exists, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That means those who make every effort to see him. People who make every effort, who really cry unto him. For without faith, without believing, without trusting that he exists, it's impossible to please this God. And that is the God that we are talking about today. We are expecting this scripture to be fulfilled here. The soul of man contains your mind, your emotions, and your will. So when we are talking about captive souls, that means your mind, your will, and your emotions sometimes is held captive by persons without bodies. Things that you do not see, but it's still happening behind the scene. Our mind sometimes gets messed up and we hear negative things. It makes you feel you cannot do things. But in actual fact, God has made you to be able to do things. Because this is the year of God's favor. The spirit behind the captivity of your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions, sometimes make you get to a point of emotional meltdown. Sometimes you get depressed. Sometimes you feel lonely. You don't even want to see anybody. Your soul is held captive. And Jesus Christ today is saying that I want that captive soul to be set free. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness, and release from darkness for the prisoners. Something is holding your mind, your will, and your emotion prisoner. Persons without bodies. Spirit of wickedness in high places, in the dark places. You see, the enemy wants you to get to the point of not believing that these things exist so that he can get your number. Once you get to the point that you don't believe that these things exist, that means he's got your name. He's held you captive. And he can do whatever he likes to you. And you have no recourse of release from this. This soul of ours goes through, that is our minds, our emotions, and our will goes through so much brokenness in one's lifetime and get damaged, bruised with wounds that go deep. Every one of you, including me, we go through challenges. We go through emotional meltdown. We go through our will sometimes just confused. Our mind sometimes disoriented and sometimes placed in the wrong places. In our lifetime, we get damaged. In this church, I believe and we know that when you become a Christian, your spirit is saved, but your soul is not saved. So your soul needs to go through healing of the captive souls. That's why in this church we have inner healing and deliverance. We heal people inwardly, deep. Because some of these things are deep, has roots, and they're there to hurt you. Hallelujah. Everybody goes through it. I have. You do. And we do still go through that. We, however, bury these wounds because we want to forget it. Other times we feel time will heal this brokenness, but it is only a matter of time when the pain will suddenly resurface without you intended it to be. This is because the brokenness is deep and has held you captive for many months and many years. Now, if you ask me what is the background to this message, the Lord put this message on my heart early June this year. So at our service planning in June, which is normally toward the end of the month, I told him that there is something on my heart that I want to preach about brokenness. Way before I knew if anybody would even come to be baptized, let alone know their story. I give thanks to Apostle Mike Connell from New Zealand, who's teaching on inner healing and deliverance has given me a better understanding of what Jesus meant by to bind up the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. Since then, the Lord has been speaking to me about my own brokenness and made me face the truth about my heart and that of people I come across, especially their heart, which has been broken like mine has, also attacked by the spirit of wickedness. Because when your heart is broken, you come under attack or spirit of wickedness. When your heart is broken, It's a very difficult place to be. It messes up your mind. It's not about maybe your boyfriend left you and your girlfriend left you, you get the next one coming. It's like London bus, right? Because you're not married to the person. You are not committed to the person. The next one is coming. You just cry, and I'm saying, stop crying. I'm not promoting boyfriend, girlfriend as the norm, because God's ideal is for a man to leave his home and be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. You understand that? So I just want you to get into context. But this brokenness is deeper than that, because as you cry, just especially men, as they cry and their heart is broken, oh God, my girl has left me. The next time they go to Tesco's and they see the next woman, they're looking at the person and they invite to tea. And when they click up, the heartbroken is gone. They forget about you. And I'm sure it's the other way around as well. But let's come back to the subject of the topic. We have to learn to face the truth about our heart, that our hearts can be attacked. What is truth anyway? Truth is revealing and not covering or concealing or hiding anything. Truth is revealing. When we say speak the truth, that means reveal it all. Don't hide it. Don't conceal it. Don't cover it. That is truth. So today I pray that you, like me, will face the truth of the condition of your heart and not hide and not cover or conceal anything about yourself, even as you listen to this message. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And today the message is about healing the brokenhearted. Many people come to church to worship God, but their hearts are covered and concealed, which prevent them from having a true relationship and intimacy with God and with people. Today we have to be willing and ready to confront the spirit and the power that breaks relationship and homes in these end times. We must be ready to receive healing in our hearts, to lift ourselves, to receive power to overcome the hold of the spirit of brokenness, so that our lives will be restored by Jesus. The Spirit of the living God is upon me, or the servant of the sovereign God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. He's anointed me to set captives free. He's anointed me to declare that this is the year of God's favor. So if you are here, I just want you to understand that this is the time of God's favor on your life. Hallelujah. We must be ready to receive healing of our hearts and be restored by Jesus Christ. What is a broken soul? You may be asking. The heart is the center of your life, and that determines your identity. So your identity is in your soul. So heart and soul are sometimes used interchangeably in the Bible, because it is your soul, your will, your emotions, and your mind. Your heart is the center of your life, and that determines your identity and who you are. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. After you've done everything that you have to do in life, guard your heart. Guard your soul, for it is the wellspring of your life. That is where your life flows from. So if your heart is broken, your life is broken. If your heart is held captive, your life is restricted and your destiny is messed up. But Jesus says, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The state of your life, of your heart, determines what comes out of your life. That is, what determines the boundaries of your life is not your education, it's not your position, it's not your money, it's not your power, your influence, but it's what is in your heart. Do you want to hear that again? What determines the boundaries of your life is not your education. It's not your position. It's not your money or your influence or your power, but it's what is in your life, in your heart. For your heart is the wellspring of life, so you must guard that. Whatever you let into or you let enter in there, into your heart, is going to determine how your life goes. If your heart is broken, then you are broken. That is why Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. So if you want to change your reality, if you want to change your destiny, if you want to change your home, if you want to change your marriage, if you want to change your life, you must change what is in your heart. Let's look at another reading from Psalm 147, verse 2 and verse 3. You guys are doing so well. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. Don't think so far. Think about you. When God is referring to Jerusalem, he's talking about his people. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So the Lord wants to build you up. He wants to gather you who has gone far from God. And he wants to heal your brokenhearted. He wants to bind up the wounds that have entered your life all this while. I said earlier on, we all go through life. And we get broken hearts. Our hearts are broken along the way. But the Lord is ready to bind the broken hearts. And today I'm so privileged to hear the story of Boluwatife Omolade Taiwo. I think, why wasn't I named like that? It's so powerful. And then we have Mariam Magba Kamara. I'm so privileged to hear their story. And we are privileged to hear stories like this. In this church. These are real people telling their real lives. I'm sure you never knew that, did you? Until today. Brokenness is what we see here. What is a broken soul? God is concerned with what is it? The Lord built up, yes. So God is concerned with what is in your deepest soul. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God wants to build you up, but if your heart is broken, it affects you by creating a limitation on what you can do or achieve in your life. Some of you have been born for greatness, but because your hearts are broken and you are held captive by the brokenness that is in you, sometimes your vision is distorted and sometimes you chase other shadows, which is not supposed to be you. Sometimes you try to be somebody you are not. You crave for the attention that it is not yours. You make sure that you are standing taller than everybody. Not literally, but taller than everybody. You know why? Because you are broken. Everybody around you, you want to squash so that you can be better. It means there's brokenness in your life, deep. And today Jesus Christ wants to bind up that brokenhearted. He wants to heal that captive soul. Brokenness puts boundaries to your life and what you can become. God wants to gather you and bind you up, whether you suffered abuse, you suffer rejection, you suffer depression in life. God wants to gather you and bind you up because he heals the brokenhearted. See, Apostle Mike McConnell also said this. What we refer to as broken heart literally means this. Write it down. To be shattered. To be fragmented into pieces, because of accidents. I'll repeat it. Or traumas, or painful experiences that we go through. To be brokenhearted literally means to be shattered, to be fragmented into pieces because of accidents or incidents for that matter, or traumas or painful experiences we have gone through. No one goes through life without going through painful experiences. But what you do about it is with what you do about it and with your life as a result will determine whether you open the door to the wicked spirit of brokenness to enter your life and hold you captive or not. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." Jesus' assignment is to heal the brokenhearted. Another literal translation means to trample down till it creates a rut. I will explain that. That's English word, R-U-T. That means it creates a hard place, like a grove or a channel where people walk. Let me explain to you. See, sometimes you are walking and you go to a place and there's a notice that keep off the grass. Why do you think they are saying that? Because they want to maintain the beauty and the niceness of the grass. But some places that I've gone to, well, let me stick it here in this country. Otherwise, I'll get into trouble. Here in this country, there are some places, even Blackheath Hill, when they say keep off the grass, you see that people, because they want a shortcut, they begin to walk on the grass, isn't it? And when somebody sees someone walking on the grass or the grass, trampled, and they also do the same. So people begin to walk on the grass till it gets to a point that it creates a path, a groove, a channel. And that place becomes so hard up and trodden under that it becomes a pathway. So what I'm trying to say is that brokenhearted means you've been trampled down until it's as if your heart is being created your heart has become so hard that sometimes does not respond to the things around you. Even when somebody is telling you the truth, you don't want to hear. Even when somebody is encouraging you, it doesn't go in because your heart is broken and it's been hard. It's been walked over. A brokenhearted person is the one who has experienced traumas, who has experienced betrayal, who has experienced abuse, who has experienced painful experience in life, who has experienced broken relationships, who has experienced rejection, who has experienced abandonment, who has experienced discrimination, who has experienced failures, and a lot more. If you've gone through any of these experiences, your heart is broken. Your heart has been trampled down. Your heart is being walked over. It's become a rut, which has caused the heart to be in pain, broken and fragmented, as if someone has walked over it continuously, creating the rot or patterns in your life which affects the way you live. So what I'm trying to say is sometimes the way we behave, the things that we do, sometimes people around us don't understand. Why should you behave that way? Why should you have fits of rage and tantrums? Why do you want to hide yourself? Why do you tell so much lies? Why are you so much into drugs? Why are you so much into stealing? Why are you so much into bad behavior? Because your heart is broken. And sometimes because you've gone through painful experiences that you've hidden it, that you've overlooked it, where you haven't even taken care of it, and you think it is okay, but God is here to heal you. And as I was listening to more of this story, it sounded simply like this. Me just simplifying a very complicated, beautiful, powerful story. She loves her mother. But not having that father figure, something she craved for. Probably nobody understood her. Probably she never verbalized it. And trying to look for answers everywhere, all through herself. And she nearly gave up life, or gave up life. Is that right, my sister? And I just want you to know that when the father figure is missing at home, the children hurt so much. Their hearts get broken. Their hearts get trampled upon. It's as if everybody is walking on you because everybody wants to be your friend. Everybody wants to be your father. Everybody. You crave that you wish. And sometimes you go into yourself. Your heart is broken. Your heart is broken. There's a pattern that has been created in your heart. A rut which is affecting the way you live and you behave. So sometimes we see some of our children in the street and carrying knife and doing all those things. They're coming from a background of brokenheartedness. It may not always be an absent parent, but it might have been some trauma that they've gone through that nobody understood or cared about it. That is why in this church, we care about it, and therefore we spend time that to take you through inner healing and deliverance and emotional health and spirituality so that your soul can be delivered. So that your soul can be set free. We didn't invent that. Jesus did. The Spirit of the living God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And verse 2 said, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of God's vengeance, and comfort all who mourn. Some of you are mourning. Some of you are hurting today. Some of you are encountering painful experiences like Miriam was talking about. Probably when she was crying at home and just putting in her mouth everything that she sees, that was supposed to bring the comfort. But that did not comfort her. There's always a consequence for our behavior. But the enemy is always happy to mess such beautiful lives up. Hallelujah. You see, these patterns of brokenness of our heart produces hurt in our lives. To heal means to restore the heart or the soul of the pain, of the anger, and of the hurt, of the offense, and the bitterness, and the humiliation, and the wounds. The stuff you let get in there, God wants to heal you and heal your heart today and restore it for this reason. Let's look at verse 4 of Isaiah 61. God wants to restore you because they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. So what, in effect, the Isaiah the prophet 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, he said Jesus Christ will come and be preaching a message like this, and this will be his assignment 700 years before Jesus was born. Prophet Isaiah was saying this will be his assignment. To preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, and for this reason, to rebuild the ancient ruins. That means some of the ruins in your life is ancient. That means it's been there for a long time. Sometimes from your childhood, you must have come under some trauma. You must have lost a parent. You must have been abandoned through divorce. You must have been bullied at home. You must have been discriminated at home. You must have been told that you don't look like anybody. I remember when I was young, I was so tall and lanky. I'm still the same tall person. Probably I put on a little bit of flesh. But whatever it was, with my friends, I stood out. And somehow along the line, It affected me for a while, but it got to a point I'm thinking, you know what, I'm taller than you, so what's your problem? You're short. That's my way of trying to deal with the brokenness and the rut that was being thrown at me. But that did not offer me solutions. These things, God wants to rebuild these ancient ruins. Some of you, you came from a home that there are bigger brothers and bigger sisters, and you were not given a chance to open your mouth because you're so young, claim you're so little. I hope you didn't do that. But what I'm trying to say is that all these things leave brokenness of heart in your life. Sometimes it might mean that growing up, people look at you differently. You don't look like everyone else, and therefore you are different. Maybe you are segregated. Maybe you are discriminated against. Maybe you are bullied. All these things leave brokenness in your heart. It creates a rut in your soul. And they are ancient. But then God wants to restore these places long devastated. And God wants to renew these ruined cities. That means you and your home. God wants to renew your city that is ruined. So, Molade, God wants to renew your heart that is broken. Mariam, God wants to renew your heart that is broken. God wants to restore you. And having chosen Jesus is the beginning of your rebuilding of those ancient ruins, those ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Some of you, the pain comes from many generations. You grow up in a home and you see a pattern of life repeating itself over and over and over again, and you know you have no chance but to go under the same thing. But when you have Jesus Christ, he will restore that place for you. Hallelujah. And talking about brokenness, I remember growing up in a home where, for a black kid, growing up in the community that we were, we felt so privileged because we ate like the other people who were privileged. We wore clothes like the other people. We even had a car like the other people. We wore shoes like other people. We did everything. And then as a young guy, around the age of 6 and 7, our father died. And suddenly, it looks like the miracle nanny has stopped. Suddenly, it has stopped. It was harsh. It was hard for a child and for children. We're, a lot of us, those days, they have kids. There were 8 of us. It was painful. And for a child, I didn't understand. It was confusing for me. And to make it even worse, there are so many of us, and my mother was an only child. She had cousins. Like Mariam have cousins. And I'm sure Mulade, you have cousins too. But she was an only child. I'm telling you my story. And somehow she felt all alone. Because people look at her and say, oh, suddenly your milk and honey is gone. So not knowing all this while, people were not happy that we live like the other people. So nobody came to help. So 2 of my older sisters and 3 of my older brothers had to be distributed to the same cousins who were telling us something different. Because that's the only people we know. So once upon a time, a home of 8 people that were all kind of happy and jumpy and excited and laughing and eating, not even bothering. And people would just come and say, hey, today I'll bring my food so that I'll eat with you. We didn't even think about it. We were generous people. Our heart is generous and we're still generous. And I know they won't bring much, but when they bring, they just want to eat our food. But we're happy to do that. There's always people in our home, as if we were actually having an old people's home or maybe orphanage or something. They came. We fed them. And then it's only 3 of us, my twin sisters before me and me. We were the younger ones. So think about it. You don't have a father, and now your older people that you have to look up to for direction, for leadership, for mentoring, and for guidance are not there anymore. Now it is only you young ones with your mother who is grieving. That is brokenness. You understand that? Death brings brokenness. So sometimes if you are here and you are behaving somehow, just ask yourself, where are the ancient roots of these things? What is there? What is there? You might have gone through trauma. If you're here and you can't sit your bum in the home and be a family man or a family woman, there's a problem there that you have to go and look out for. Are you with me? And when we parents are very busy, so when I was growing up, I was thinking, you know what? I will make it in life. I will never let my home be decimated like that. So I'll press on. And thank God I found Jesus. So my home has never been decimated and it's not going to be decimated. In Jesus' name. So where are we now? Your heart is your territory. If the devil can get an inroad into your heart, he's got hold on your destiny and your future. Turn off the phone. You are destructive. He's got a hold on your destiny and your future. God wants to set us free from all the demonic powers that keep those wounds inside you. The bruising that you have gone through created the wounds in your heart, which is being manifested in your behavior. You understand that? Sometimes some of you can't trust anybody simply because you've been hurt. You've been deceived. You've been betrayed. And therefore, you cannot trust anybody. Wounds in the original sense means idol. Put it down in your notes. Wounds in its original sense means idol. The wounds that you carry has become the idol that you serve. An idol is a substitute for the reality of God. You see, the reason why people, when you begin to talk about God, they shy away because they have idols that have become a substitute in their lives. They have put jobs and career as an idol before them. They have become a substitute for their God. They've put their family, their kids as idols. They will not see it. They become substitute for their lives. When their kid had a headache, they have a migraine. It's true. When they have a cough, they have tuberculosis. These are excuses to move away from God. And I'm challenging you, these are probably ridiculous examples, but I just want to challenge you that the reason why you don't want Jesus in your life because we are broken. The reason why you are running away from God, you don't want church because you are broken. The reason why on Sunday you want to stay at home and watch television and substitute with something else because you are broken. Your destiny is messed up. Your place is with God. Give me 5 more minutes and I'll finish, all right? We have baptism to go through. But I have a message to preach. I can stop and we can finish next week. Probably 5 minutes will do. Yeah. An idol is a substitute for the reality of God. When you face the painful experience in life, you have a choice. And the choice is, will you allow the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord to enter in to remove the pain and heal you, leading you to forgiveness, or you would rather carry the pain in your heart that's messing up God's purpose for you and your destiny. Will you let Jesus Christ come into your life and heal the broken places of your life so you can honor and serve him in truth and in spirit? Or you would rather live your brokenness and live in your mess? Would you let Jesus access the pain? Would you let him into your heart to save you? Or will you try and save yourself and make an inward vow to yourself that I will never let any man hurt me again? Because a man has hurt you. Or you make a vow, I have drawn the line that I won't let anyone cross and hurt me again, because somebody has hurt you. I've adopted that XYZ strategy so that no one will be able to let into my life and to ruin my life again. I will never be vulnerable again. I will never let anyone into my life again. I will never trust any pastor again because a pastor has actually messed you about. I will never trust a man of or a man or woman of God again. I will never trust a woman again. I will never trust a man again because you live in a home that a woman is controlling your life and has controlled your life. You know the reason? The woman is broken, came from a broken home. Something went wrong and they never dealt with it or didn't know what to do. You see, woman was never created to control a man. Of course, some men abdicate their responsibility and pass it on to women because God's original intent is to make you a priest, a leader, and a prophet in the home. And the reason why you're not a prophet, a leader in your home, and a priest in your home is because you are broken and have abdicated that responsibility to a woman. And when the woman asserts her authority, you think, oh God, they are trying to control me. Hallelujah. They're controlling you because they're also broken. They come from a home where they saw their mother controlling their father. Well, what they know is that the mother takes control and the father just sits and do nothing. That is brokenness. I need to stop here. We're going to pray. Come on, musicians, come onto the stage. We have to deal with this situation today. I'm going to pray. We're going to have baptism shortly, but I want to pray for you today. I'll continue this message next week. I know we have to talk about fear according to service planning, but this is important. I just want you to understand that I had to deal with my own brokenness, so that I'll be able to stand. And some of you have been hurt by death. You've lost a loved one, and that has hurt you in your life. Some of you have failed in the examinations, that has hurt you. Some of you, you feel that you have gone into the wrong marriage, and you are confused, you are broken, and you think people have laughed at you. Some of you, you feel that people are looking at you because you are a single parent. They don't know the brokenness you are going through. It could have been an ancient ruin in the family line that everybody is a single parent. So somehow along the line, it is all right to be in the family and be a single parent, and it's all right. It's not all right before God because you need the man and the woman in the house so that the two can work together. Because it is hard when, as a mother, you have to wake up in the day, wake up in the night, and your child is crying. You don't know what is happening, and it is just you. You are tired, and the course of the day, you have to look after the children. You still have to work. It is tiresome to be a single parent. I just want you to understand. Especially when the father is missing, it messes up a home big time, big time. Sometimes the father may be in the house, is in the house, but not there because there's no relationship with the kids. There's no relationship with the wife. There's no relationship with anybody. And I tell you that your children are crying, your wife is crying, and you are crying too. Because there's brokenness. And when there's brokenness, you draw a line to set your own boundaries. You don't want nobody to come in. You become a loner. Your way or nobody other's ways. That is brokenness. Hallelujah. And today I'm going to pray for you. As you stood here, If this message relates to you, put on the passage, Isaiah chapter 61. Put up the passage for me. For the Spirit of the living God is upon me. He has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captive. So today, if your heart is broken, I want you to get up and come here. I want to pray for you. There's nothing magical about this, but to release God's power over your life. We want you to have healing. So if your heart is broken, I want you to get up. Don't sit down and wait for the next person, because that person cannot break your heart or heal your heart for you. I want you to come over. There must be abandonment. There must be somehow pain in your heart. There must be.